Hey, what's going on, folks? This is the late night, early morning edition of the Eric Bailey Blog Podcast. I'm just now leaving work on my way home. It's going to be a relatively short episode. Episode 8, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while. We're talking Lakers basketball, seeing as how the season concluded for the fifth straight year again during the regular season. Going to be talking some movies. Going to be talking some dieting. And then we'll just wrap things up. So first things first. Man, dude, seriously, what the fuck with the Lakers? Man, Magic Johnson quitting. I would like to say that came out of left field, but, I mean, we all know the expression, those who fail to learn their history are doomed to repeat it. And I said this when he took the job. It reminded me a lot of his coaching. He was asked to do a favor when they needed a head coach, and he seemed really excited about it. And then they went like 5-14, if I'm not mistaken, or 5-15. And then he just quit and said, man, fuck this. I ain't doing this anymore. And that is exactly what he did as president of basketball ops, is he came in, hit the ground running and said, everybody, oh, we'll see any playing time. You know, if you got a certain amount of body fat and we want this and we want that, and he traded D'Angelo Russell and made all this salary cap room. And then he just said, you know what, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I'm used to just kind of showing up, smiling, giving a sound bite, and then sailing off on my, you know, multi-million dollar yacht. And that is exactly what he decided to do. He decided to take a summer vacation and went back to retirement. So, man, what does that mean for the Lakers? I gotta tell you right now, I'm not a little worried. I'm a lot worried, man, because this kind of depends on, I mean, that was, you know, what the Lakers' plans going forward with LeBron James, who you have a very limited window with. Mind you, this dude's 34. Yeah, he's still a high-level player, but he's 34. So you got him contractually for the next 2 years. But making the best of those 2 years was contingent on the free agency pitch this upcoming summer, which is going to be very hard to do without Magic Johnson. So the next hire that they have to be very, very, it's going to have to be very impactful. I, among other people, will say, you call Jerry West and you tell him, look, man, the checkbook's yours. You write out how much you think you're worth. And that's the clear-cut, obvious answer, so I don't think that the Lakers are going to do that because I don't have the time to get into it right now. But I personally think that as much as it pains me to say, as a longtime Laker fan, I've been a Lakers fan as long as I can remember following basketball, which dates back to about 1994. So I've been a Laker fan for roughly a little over 25 years. And it pains me to say this. I've been saying this for a while. That the Lakers, as we are accustomed to knowing them, died with Dr. Jerry West. I think it's going to be a very long road to becoming a respectable franchise. And I mean, it's tough to say championship caliber. I mean, because, like, here's the thing. Everybody likes to compare themselves. Like, the gold standard is Golden State right now. And everybody wants what Golden State has, but they don't want to do it the way Golden State did it. Now, everybody kind of has a short-term memory in basketball, so everybody is gung-ho on the 73-9 and getting KD, so on and so forth. But if you look at their core, you know, they drafted Steph Curry after 3 years of college. Like, he was a 21-year-old rookie. Klay Thompson was a 21-year-old rookie. Draymond Green was a 22-year-old rookie. And the thing is, everybody looks at the championship that they won in 2015, so it's real easy to look at the championship that they won in 2015, which they want to place asterisk next to due to the injuries. I'm not going to get into that. But what I am going to get into is it's real easy to pinpoint the 2015 championship, the 2017 championship, the 2018 championship. It's real easy because those are recent memory, but nobody remembers them they didn't make the playoffs in 2012 with the core that they had. They got put out in the second round in 2013 with the core that they had. You know, they got put out in the first round in 2014 with the core that they had. And, you know, Mark Jackson getting fired as the coach. Because I have a belief there's really, like, maybe only like a 3 to 4 year window in the NBA where if you don't do anything with the group that you have, something drastic has to change. So people can say what they want to about Mark Jackson, but essentially Steve Kerr slides in, kind of rearranges things, and then bam, you know, they become a dynasty. Kevin Durant did help that. But, you know, the thing is, that was still a fundamental organically grown team. And if you look at successful teams in the league right now, this whole concept of free agency this and player mobility that, look, a dude fulfills his contract, I'm all for that. So if you decide, you know, you get drafted to the Minnesota Timberwolves and you decide after your rookie contract, you know what, I don't want to play here anymore, that is that player's prerogative to move wherever they want to move to. I don't want to say it, but, like, because again, I'm 200% for player mobility and people deciding where they want to go. That's perfectly all right with me. When you start looking at successes, though, currently in the NBA, you draft a guy, you draft a couple of guys, you strategically do a couple of trades, and then you just wait for it to develop. You wait for it to cultivate. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But when you look at what the Milwaukee Bucks have been able to do behind Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but I don't want to be lazy and either just keep saying Giannis or Greek Freak. You know, if you learn players' names like Ilyasova or Sabonis or something like that, Antetokounmpo, which, again, I'm sure I'm saying wrong, but that's the best shot that I'm taking until I can be corrected. But you look at what Milwaukee's doing. You look at what Golden State has done. When you look at teams like the Orlando Magic and what they've done, granted, they're pretty low in the playoffs, but they're still there. You look at teams like Houston, which may not have necessarily done it through drafting, but they did it through a mixture of drafting and trading. So this whole concept of building super teams is something that the media just kind of runs with, but it doesn't really hold up to a lot of tests and scrutiny, because really the only two players that have really done it were LeBron, because LeBron just kind of goes wherever the grass is greenest at that moment. And then Kevin Durant just decided, hey, you know what? I've been on an Oklahoma City Thunder team that has made the conference finals or further 4 times in a 6-year stretch, and I'm tired. That's why everybody kills Kevin Durant for doing what he did. I personally don't. They kind of want to differentiate what he did between what he and LeBron did is, oh, well, he didn't join a 73-9 team. Look, it doesn't matter. Kevin Durant played for the Thunder. He gave it his all, and he felt like he couldn't win there. And when you look at the fact that they made it to the Western Conference Finals 4 times in 6 years or further, because they did get to the finals in 2012, and just nothing was happening, he just decided, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be a player that gets ridiculed for being a really great player, but because I didn't win a championship, it, like, all of the great individual accolades I can achieve will go unrewarded or, you know, criticized. And if you think I'm lying, look at Russell Westbrook. Look, Russell, to me, there really isn't a huge difference in style of play other than, you know, the shooting percentage. But in terms of the st- statistics, there isn't a huge difference between what Russell Westbrook does and LeBron James does, other than the fact that LeBron James has just been able to kind of jump around and get championships out of it. So that there's that. Yeah, nobody really wants to do what Golden State did to get the results that they have. Some teams are doing that, and the teams that are most successful, your Milwaukee Bucks, your Portland Trail Blazers, to a lesser degree. Actually, no, I'm not going to talk about the Orlando Magic. If you look in the East, Boston Celtics. I'm a Laker fan. So first off, fuck Danny Ainge and fuck the Boston Celtics. But the way that they, granted, he did kind of fleece the Nets out of, like, draft picks for, like, a million years. But that being said, the way that Danny Ainge has kind of built that team through the draft and through trading I expected them to win the East, and they still might. I don't know. But if you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, which did it traditionally through the draft, like, this whole concept of, we looking to strike it in free agency. You mark my words. Go ahead and pull this as a archive it. I'm calling it right now. I don't know where Kyrie goes, probably to the Knicks if he really wants to get paid. First and foremost, I don't think that Klay Thompson is going anywhere. It doesn't make any sense to. Especially if the Warriors win this year, which they probably will. They're going to the nice side of the Bay. Brand new arena. Already a fan base. I personally don't think that Klay can do, like, he'll be a great player. Take that back. He'll be a really good player by himself. But if you could be a good player in a great system, why would you mess that up? They'll roll up to his house with the Brinks truck. And if you're Kevin Durant, you take a little bit of a haircut because you're going to get your money in endorsements because you're a better player than Klay Thompson. So you're going to get your money through other avenues. So I wouldn't take it from the team. If I were Kevin Durant, I'd stay in Golden State. I'd take a little bit of a pay cut to make sure Klay gets paid, and then I'd go and get my money elsewhere. Because when you're talking about supermaxes and when you're talking about max contracts, does it really make a difference if you're getting paid $234 versus $221? Like, I guess it does for an ego thing, but, like, it's more money than you'd be able to spend anyway. And then on top of that, you're getting money from other places. Kevin Durant has side businesses. He has an endorsement with Nike, so I would go with that. But that's enough of basketball because, like I said, I'm a little butthurt that the Lakers haven't been to the playoffs since 2013, and they haven't won a playoff game since 2012. So I'm a little butthurt about that, so I'm not really going to talk about basketball much anymore. Fandango. If you follow me on Facebook, you would know that Fandango just completely fucked up my early showing Shazam tickets. They screwed it up. They didn't send me the email confirmation. And they charged me for it, got to the movie theater, wasn't able to get in, and then it was a hassle getting my money back. Because I didn't actually get it back through Fandango. I actually had to file a fraud claim with Wells Fargo because they charged me for something, for a service that they didn't provide and didn't want to refund me my money because I didn't find out until the movie started that they didn't send me the confirmation. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't I check? And here's my rebuttal to that. If you are in a business for charging tickets or for selling tickets, and that's what you do, and you're not some rinky-dink, you know, mom-and-pop operation or, like, an online business that just started. Like, you're fucking Fandango. I shouldn't have to double-check your work. It should be, like, I buy my tickets, and my shit should be there. I should be paying, I'm paying you that convenience fee for peace of mind. And that didn't happen. So have I ever had problems with Fandango before? No, but here's the thing. I would have been totally cool with this, and like I said, I called customer service twice. I emailed them twice. They had the audacity to send me an email after the movie to say how the show was, and trust me, I ripped it into them, and one of the last questions I was asked was, would you like to be contacted, to which I said yes, and I never got contacted, which I'm pretty sure had to do with the negative reviews that I left. So having said that, I've never had a problem using Fandango before, and if this problem would have arisen, I contact them, and the tone and the response I get is, ah, dude, that sucks. That's our bad. Let's try to correct the situation. Then I say, well, you know what? Y'all fucked up, but at least y'all owned up to it. They didn't even want to own up to it and just said, like, oh, well, tough shit. So I'm never using them again because it's not like they screw up a lot. I've used them a lot. But the thing is, I'm not going to rate you based on what your standard is or what the norm is. I'm going to rate you based on what did you do when things go wrong. What did you do when you actually have to use that discretion of, okay, well, here's a tough customer service call, and we may have screwed this up. Maybe the customer screwed it up, but you know what? Let's try to make the best out of this. And they didn't do that. So fuck Fandango. I'm never using them again. If you guys use them, you can. I wouldn't. So having said that, I did end up seeing Shazam, and I loved it. I think that it was really cool. I think that that the future may not necessarily be as bright for the DC Extended Universe than the Marvel Cinematic Universe for off the top of my head, two reasons. One, it just doesn't have the backing, and then two, it just doesn't have the continuity. If I were an executive at Warner Brothers and I really wanted to build a cinematic universe around DC properties, which are like literally the most iconic in the genre of comic book characters, Paul Dini and Bruce Timm are literally like the greatest of all time in terms of building a comic universe. So why Bruce Timm and Paul Dini weren't really consulted the way Kevin Feige kind of got the helm over at Marvel Studios is beyond me. There's still time, just throwing that out there. If anybody listens to, you know, the Eric Bailey blog podcast that only, you know, averages about, you know, 6 plays per episode, but that's all right. It's all about quality, not quantity. Yeah, just go ahead and send that out there. But having said that, check it out. Go see it. Aquaman made $1 billion off a $160 million budget. So, I mean, you know, Jason Momoa by himself, like, financed the next 3 DC movies. So, I mean, so we're still going to be seeing him for a while. But that being said, yeah, I'm on a diet right now. I'm cranky as hell. I had the worst day. I don't know if it was because people were finding me to have a bad day or if it's the fact that I'm not used to, I'm getting a lot less calories than I'm used to, but it's been rough. I'm in the final stretch of my first semester at a university. It's going not bad. I'm not going to say it's going well. I'm not going to say it's going great. It's going, and I'm moving forward. So expect to hear from me soon. That being said, man, everybody out there for the continued support, thank you. You know, I'm on Instagram at Eric Bailey Blog. I'm on Facebook at the Eric Bailey Blog. So let me know what you guys think, what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear from you guys. Hopefully you guys love hearing from me. And let's have a fantastic rest of the week. It's early Wednesday morning. It's the hump day. Oh, yeah, grooving it. So let's just go out there and make the best of this week.